We have a lot to be thankful for this morning. We have an awful lot to be thankful for this morning. We have a lot to rejoice in. I trust that all of our hearts can say amen to that when we are finished. We've already heard a lot this morning. I appreciate what was shared, Brother Reuben. I don't see you. There you are. Just appreciated some of those thoughts very, very, and I think it actually goes a lot in the same line as what I have been thinking. Interesting how the Lord works. I'd like to speak about Christ and Christ and His church. Christ and His church will prevail. Talk about trees that stand the test of time, and appreciated that analogy too, how you concluded some of those things, Brother John, just there, the big old oak tree that's been there and through hard things and so forth. But Christ and His church will prevail. The important thing is that we're a part of that. That's the important thing, and that's where I would like to encourage us and exhort us to be a part of Christ and His church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the one that the church is built upon. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. You may think that I am not qualified, and I do not feel like I'm qualified to preach this message. I just would like to stir our hearts with a few thoughts, and I would plead with you to try to understand. This message is not, like I mentioned, I think before, I am not preaching it at you. I don't mean to, at least. Don't receive it in that way. I'm not preaching it at anyone here, but rather I felt like I needed it. So if you could just simply have patience as I share these things. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, going down to verse 20. And hopefully I'm not taking these verses out of context. Some of you, I know I've heard some of you talking about these verses, and maybe I'm not understanding things quite right or not putting them in the right context. So please bear with me on that. Anyway, Jesus was in the middle of asking the disciples who these other people said that He was. And then He turns the question around and He says, "Whom do you say that I am?" And in verse 16 there, I'm sorry, I was going to read actually. Let me just read all of that. Let's start in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Now, there's some churches, I'm not sure what some of the other churches do, but I know specifically the Catholic Church will take that verse where Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church." They would think of Peter being the Pope, the first Pope, and he has all the keys. Basically, he can say what goes and what doesn't go, and that's it. You know, Peter is the man in charge. And and which they would then look at, you know, all the popes following on down through, the same thing is true that they would consider that to be the case. But I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about at all, that it's on Peter that he was building the church. I don't believe that's true at all. My understanding, in which I looked a little bit on the word Peter, and I found it very, very interesting, just for you that love to study little words, dissect little words. I know some of you like that maybe more than others, but it's interesting. You look up the word Peter, and you know Jesus talked about, you know, or mentioned in other places that Peter means rock. But interestingly, the Strong's gives it as little rock. He's a little rock. And then when it goes on, and this is all in verse 18 there, it says, thou art Peter, or thou art that little rock. That you're just a little stone, a little rock. That's according to the Strong's. And upon this rock, Petra, which is now, Peter is Petros, and then this rock, and upon this rock is Petra, which is a massive rock. It's a huge rock. It's a big rock. I will build my church. And I really believe Jesus was trying to bring out the point, this fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation. That is the foundation. That is the big rock. I believe is what he was talking about. And he was saying, Peter, you're just one of those little rocks. You're just one of those little pieces. Anyway, that's so much for that little word study. But so Christ, this is where I guess that the main context of, or the main thought comes from as far as Christ and his church will prevail. There's nothing that's going to come against the church that's going to prevail. The church of Jesus Christ. Now, we have seen, you have seen many churches failing, probably in your lifetime. Most all of us have seen, either been a part of a church or have visited a church or have been, actually going through church, maybe church splits, church things, and that is very, very sad and very, very, it doesn't bring joy to the heart of God at all. But the true church of Jesus Christ is still going to go on. It will go on whether you and I are in, whether I'm in it or not, whether you're in it or not. The true church of Jesus Christ is going to prevail. And the important thing for us is, am I in it? Are you in it? Are we need, and that's where I would just like to encourage us to not examine necessarily. This morning is not a message for you to examine your brother, for me to examine my brother, but for us to all examine our own heart. Honestly, before God, where am I at with God? Where am I at? And also, the other thing that I was thinking about when I was thinking about this, meditating on this, and I'm sorry, I didn't. I had a completely different message that I was thinking of on the last 2 weeks, and that all just, I didn't feel clear. Just not because of you, not because of anything like that, but just things that happened. I felt like it would probably not, probably not come out right. So I just chucked that thing aside. And so this is just from this morning, probably the last 2 hours before we came here. So, but it's still things that I have studied otherwise, but some of these verses that I have. So I don't mean to say that I have it all together. But in thinking these things, I'm just sharing these things just to tell you where I'm at with some of this. Also just simply to be honest with you, the struggle, the challenge sometimes to know where is God leading. And I just didn't feel clear about some of the other things to share what was on my mind 2 weeks before. And some of that would have been more in light of just facing death and the seriousness of death and so forth. It was more in line of that. But I just didn't really feel clear about that, where that was. So, but looking at this, looking at Christ and the church and that he will prevail, I had to think of it a little bit in this way, and I don't know how to describe it. I wish I could have an object here that I could show you, or a projector, and I could have maybe done that, but I don't like to do so much of that for a message. But if you can just imagine with me a little bit. Children, if you could imagine with me, let's zoom in. This is a big screen, you know, we zoom in. And I don't know how to draw this right, but we zoom way in. I'm not quite sure how this actually looks. I should have a picture here to. All we see is this. What is that? Anybody have any idea what I'm trying to tell you what it is? Anybody have any idea? You're grinning a little bit, Reuben. You want to tell me?
I see if you remember the big picture.
Well, that could work. That's not actually what I'm thinking, but that's a good thought. That's a good thought. I'm not actually thinking about it. I'm thinking of an object, actually. Not a figurative, not a spiritual thing. Not specifically an object. So what do you see? I want to use it then as an illustration then, but yeah. You see nothing. Okay, all right, you see nothing. Yeah, it's irrelevant. It's like, come on, you know, whatever. And I agree with you. I'm not quite sure if this is the right shape of those things, but, and I don't know how to do this. I really don't know how to draw this right. See, how do they look in real life? I should have printed out a picture. But we will do a little bit of imagination. We'll push that out a little ways. I'm not sure if this is the right kind of flower. And this is, but now you have these tiny little, it looks like little nines. I can't do that with that little, just real tiny little. It's this, I think, what do they call this? Stigma? Stamen? How do you, it starts with an S, I know, and I'm not sure. So you scientists, you would know. But they're real tiny in there. You know, and when you zoom in real much, you see these little tall little stalks, little things sticking up, and they have little shapes. Some of them are different depending which flower you go and all that. But when you weigh in there, it's like, what relevance does that have to me? What relevance does that have to where I'm at, where what I'm doing, you know? I just had to think of that. And this message is meant to encourage, okay? This is my goal, is to encourage us all. And some of the things that we're facing as a church are not easy, okay? So you all know that. Some of the things that we're facing as a church, some of the challenges as far as understanding each other, they're not easy. And we're way down deep in there. And we're like, what sense does this make? And so I'd like to just back us out, way out, to get the big picture. And it's about Christ and his church. It's about Christ and his church. And that's what I'd like for us, forget about the subjects around us that are perhaps issues in our mind. In one sense, forget about them. In one sense, for just a moment, just today, just this morning, let's zoom out and recognize Christ and his church will prevail. Christ and his church will prevail. His word is going to always be true, and it's so important. Let's always run to this. Let's always run to this and embrace it. Anyway, just that, I need that this morning. I need that. This is where I find my need this morning. I'm just sharing a little bit, you know, sometimes, yes, those little things, and I don't want to take away from that. Little things do matter. But sometimes we need to back off. It's a little bit like when I was working with Nehemiah in his house there underneath the in the crawl space, you know, I know I just did work there a couple times, not very much. When you're in there and it's damp, it's wet, it's ugly, it's dark, I don't like crawl spaces, okay? I don't know how many of you like crawl spaces. I don't like crawl spaces. But when you step back, especially if you step back now and look at the big picture, a nice home. They've got a nice setting, a nice home, nice place. Step back. And so sometimes in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of hard things to sort through, there's sometimes things that we don't understand, and sometimes we don't always respond right either. I don't always respond right to situations. We don't always handle things right. And sometimes we think we're seeing something, but it's something different actually when we get down to daily life. It's true for all of us. But I think it's important for us this morning. Let's go back to the big picture. Jesus Christ is building his church. Jesus Christ is building his church. And I would just like to for us to focus on that a bit this morning. Get the big picture instead of only that little thing. And now you understand why I'm preaching to myself, okay? And I really mean that too. I want to open. I feel like this message is for me. Let's remember who is the head of the church. Who is the head of the church? It is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. And we're the body. And we can kind of make sense with that in a huge, overall, overarching understanding. But sometimes when it gets down to the little nitty-gritty details, some of those things, it gets a bit maybe not so clear sometimes. But I'd like for us just to go, let's go back to that fact, that reality. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus Christ will prevail along with his church. The church will. He will have a church all the way to the end. I would just like to read a few verses here. You do not need to turn to these here, but I'll have you turn to other ones later here. In Psalm 125, 1 and 2, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth, even forever." God has it has a wall or mountains around about Jerusalem, around about his people. And your safest place, brothers and sisters, our safest place, whether it's going smoothly or whether it's difficult, our safest place is right there by our God. Right there by Jesus Christ, right there beside him. Let's run there. Let's go there. Let's seriously seek the face of God for life. We have a lot of disappointments. People disappoint us. I'm sure I've disappointed some of you, and I'm sorry. I don't like to be a disappointment. I don't enjoy that. And neither do I want to. I don't want to allow my flesh. I know some of the things I think you were sharing this morning about the dealing with the flesh and cutting it off. I'm not exactly sure all what you said, but if there are things like that, those things need to be cut off. Those things need to be dealt with. Those things are not, there's no excuse, there's no place for those things. But I would just like to share or just encourage us to go back to the rock. Let's put our roots down and run to the rock. The other thing is, I think it's important for us to also recognize the thing Christ and his church will prevail. We know that. What is... we can get so theological. We can get so... vague with statements and things that we make and so forth. But sometimes, I expect probably all of us have struggled with this. Sometimes we get too much the picture, it's Christ and his church will prevail. The church is definitely me. The church, I'm definitely in there. You know, I'm definitely, or I don't know. You're always right. If you wouldn't be right, you'd come on my side, right? Right? Isn't that right, Brother Albert? I mean, I've heard it said that way. If you disagree with somebody, you would change sides if you would think they were right. Probably. Jesus says, no man hath ever yet hated himself. We protect ourselves an awful lot. Okay? We too much be like little islands and form our own little, you know, it's about Christ and me instead of Christ and the church. And I'm, like I said, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me in this thing. But I think it's important for us to realize that Jesus has a church. Jesus has a people. Jesus has a body. And it's important that we strive to enter into that fold, into that kingdom. Jesus talks about it's only those that are, how does he use, what word does he use? Something about zealous, I think, I forget. It gives me the picture anyway of the zeal of my house has eaten me up, and it's only those that press in are the ones that are going to make it. But he will have a church. He will have a church. And the reason I mentioned what I said earlier about sometimes we struggle with this, sometimes... And this is where I want to examine my heart, and I would just encourage us all to examine our hearts and recognize, you know, God is head. Jesus is head of the church, and it's not just about what I think. It's not just about what my opinion is that matters, but rather it's what God thinks ultimately, but then also how to walk together. And I really believe if God looks at this picture, and he has that in mind, if we all go praying to the Lord for that to happen in all of our hearts, I believe it will do a knitting and a pulling together and a unifying. Yes, when we start out, we might be, Caleb might be over here in this little limb here of a petal, of a flower, and he might not see over there all the way where Albert's sitting. But as we seek the Lord and as we see the whole picture and as we see his, we don't just try to make our petal look the brightest. We try to just do our part. And we try to glorify the head. We try to glorify Jesus Christ. That needs to be, and that just will happen for the church. But if we want to be a part of the church, that will need to happen in our heart as well. So, but I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear here, but I just think if the Lord has this in mind for the church, do you think he can accomplish that? I mean, he can do it. He can do it. And so I'd like that to be an encouragement. You know, if you Find it. You know, you see this brother's failing, and you see that church is failing, and you see this struggle over here. God knows all about those things. None of those things are out of his mind. None of those things are surprises. Not at all. He warns us that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. He warns us about those things, and he warns us to be careful in all those things. But this morning, I'd just like to encourage us, let's go to our head. Let's go to Jesus Christ, and let's also appreciate each other. Let's also appreciate one another and try to step back and look at the big picture. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I'm sorry where I've not communicated that to you. I'm sorry. That's God, what he has in mind. God has in mind for his church to be pure, to be prevailing, to be winning. And the fact is, it just will. It will. There's no other changing it. The issue, the question is, am I in it or are you in it? And that's for us to examine this morning. Turn your Bibles to, I think I'm just going to jump on to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Talking about eternal, an eternal kingdom and being a part of it. Romans chapter 8, very beautiful passage. We want to be a part of that. And I trust all of us want to be a part of that. And I trust all of us can get the big picture of this is God's heart for all of us, every last one of us here this morning. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to God to the charge of God's elect? I mean, who's going to throw an accusation? Who's going to throw an accusation? It's God that can justify. God is supreme. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. In other words, the one that can pronounce the ultimate judgment, the ultimate condemnation, is really Christ. That is also our Savior, who is also our Savior. And he's risen again. Yea, rather, has risen again and is even at the right hand of God who maketh intercession for us. So if this is your judge, the one that's interceding for you, this message is a message of hope, okay? You know, there are other aspects, and I hope you brothers can balance this whole thing out as well with later messages and so forth. But I would just like to share this as a word of encouragement. If God... If there's condemnation, if there's a person that you're struggling with or that has issues with you and so forth, this is the safest place is with Jesus Christ. Your safest place is with Jesus Christ, okay? That's where our safety is. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. We shouldn't be, I know sometimes reproof is needful and so forth, and some of those things, like I said, there's a balance to those things, but we shouldn't be just simply casting, we shouldn't be casting condemnation from our mouth and from our heart to one another. And if those things happen, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one is the one that can condemn to eternal life or eternal bliss forever with him. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Christ's love for us. Who's going to separate us? Could it possibly be tribulation? Hard things? I mean, when you go through hard things as a congregation and you have a... You feel like your brother just doesn't understand you, and is that going to separate us? Or what about distress when you just are discouraged? It's just very, very discouraging. or persecution. Maybe it's purposely going against God, purposely undermining the Word of God and what God wants to do in your life. Is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Or famine, in other words, just natural disasters and some of those things. Nakedness, in other words, you don't have clothes, you don't have things to take care of, meet your needs. Or peril. I suppose that's a little bit down the same line of natural disasters and so forth. Or sword, in other words, wars. Or it could also be maybe a robber coming in, or somebody with a physical intent to harm you. Are those things going to separate us? The devil uses those things to try to separate us, or separate us from the love of God, as well as, I think, separate us from one another. You know, the devil wants to do that. If the love of Christ isn't in us, if we don't love God, if we don't love this way, we also are not loving God either. We have to have the love of God in us to love our brother, or you can't separate the two. You can't say that you love your brother or you can't say that you love God and you don't love your brother, if I say it right. So anyway, can any of those things separate us? So if you just get the big picture again, this is God's heart for His church. Like I read there in Psalms earlier, it talks about that this thing is not going to get moved. It's not going to get shaken. And God's going to have like mountains around about His people. Joseph, God's mountains being around you, protecting you. You don't have to fight for your own agenda, your own way. We don't need to do that. Yes, I believe, you know, there's verses that says contend for the faith, and that is all. There's a striving, there's a in that way, but it's not a how was that we fight from the winning side. We fight from the position of victory. In other words, Jesus has won the victory. He and His church will prevail. It doesn't matter what men will do to us. It doesn't matter what we even maybe what we even decide among us. That won't change those facts. That won't change those facts. What really matters is the Word of God. And our connection to Him. The other thing that I just throw out here, just as a little, take it as a little bit of a food for thought. We can be very, very smart with the Word. Very, 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 when I say smart, very, very intellectual. Very knowledgeable in how we use this Word, use the Bible. And can just shrewdly put in maybe the right words to knock somebody over, and so to speak. That's not what I'm meaning at all. In light of that's not allowing the Word of God to have its effect, or its the true effect that it needs to have in our life. So, getting back, that was a little bit of a rabbit trail. Sorry. Getting back to what I was saying earlier. So the Apostle Paul here, he's writing here, and he says, you know, is God if somebody's going to condemn us, you know, it's God that justifies, or if He's going to lay a charge against us, Jesus is going to be the one that's going to handle the condemnation, the accusations that come to us. Then he asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? And he asks all those questions. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And it's true. And I think what that's referring to is the suffering also that God's people will face. We do face those things. But in the middle of all those things, I think the Apostle Paul faced a lot of persecution. And in the middle of all that, he is saying, nay, in spite of these things, in spite of these dilemmas, and things seem to be falling apart, and it's scary, and all those things. If you build on Jesus Christ as your rock, you don't need to be afraid. You can be assured. Yes, there's also a scripture, I didn't look that one up, where it says that, you know, one man builds, I forget, was stones and other things, you know, on top, builds on this foundation. And then there's another one that has wood, hay, and stubble. And then there's a fire that's going to try those things. And it says that he might lose everything, but he himself will be saved. So there's sometimes some things that we do, some decisions, I don't know what to call them, but some maybe conclusions that we come to in life, whether it be as individuals or whether it be us as fathers or whether it be us as a congregation or whether it be us as elders. Some of those things perhaps could be, can be, wood, hay, and stubble. But if our foundation is on Jesus Christ, and that's where I would like to just point us to this morning, or if our foundation is on Jesus Christ, when the fire burns, and when I mean the fire, I don't think we need to fire each other. God can bring us through that, through those fires. But if our heart is on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're founded upon that, some of that wood, some of that stubble, some of the things that perhaps aren't as important as we thought they were, can vanish, can dissipate, can disappear. The important thing is for us to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And then I believe we can experience the blessing of being a part of his body and the blessing of being a part of his church. I hope you're getting my heart this morning. I hope you're connecting with it. And here he concludes that chapter and he says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." There's nothing, brothers and sisters, there is nothing that can separate you and that can separate me from the love of God if we embrace, if we let our hearts, sink our hearts deep down into the rock, into Jesus Christ. There's nothing, and there's another scripture. Yes, actually here it is. I had forgotten that I had looked that one up. In John chapter 10, some beautiful words of Jesus. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. John chapter 10, those of you that want to look it up, verse 27 to 30. John chapter 10, 27 to 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Nobody can take you out of Christ's hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Our security is in Jesus Christ, our rock, that big, massive rock. That's where our security is. Back to Romans there. In verse 37, if your fingers were still there, it says, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." And I don't know if you have ever done any arm wrestling or anything like that. You boys, you've probably done some of those things. I know some of you boys have. If you would take Sherilyn, our little girl, and you do arm wrestling with her, Marcus Andrew, if you would do that, do you think you could beat her? You think you could take her on? You think you could handle her? Huh? Are you sure you could? Huh? Of course, right? It's very, very easy, right? Very, very easy you could. It'd be, that's what I would call more than a conqueror. It's like, you just creamed them. I mean, you just, it's not even a challenge. Now, if you would take your brother, Zachary, it's a little bit more of a question. I don't know which one of you can outdo the other one, but I was a little bit younger than my older brother, and there came a time when that switched, where I got a little stronger than him. Anyway, but it took a lot of muscle. I wouldn't call it more than a conqueror. I was just a conqueror. Here he says in the Bible, more than a conqueror. In other words, it's not even a challenge. It's not even a threat. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death is going to separate us. And all these other things. So do you face tribulation? Do you face distress? Do you face misunderstandings? Do you feel some of those things? I just like to encourage us, go to the rock. Go to the rock. Let's go to the rock that is higher than I. Like that song says, Christ and his church will prevail. It will endure. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Men will fail, but God will not fail. I really believe that. Man can fail, at least. I trust that there are those that will be faithful, that we can say, like the Apostle Paul, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I want that. My prayer is that for all of us, that we can all say that with the Apostle Paul. That's my prayer. Christ and his church will prevail. In closing, I think I will just kind of wrap this here up. Go to Revelation chapter 21. In Hebrews, it gives a beautiful picture in Hebrews 12 about the kingdom that cannot be moved. And Daniel talks about the kingdom that can't be moved, that big, huge rock, that boulder, that big, huge stone that came rolling down, and it spread throughout the whole world. And of course, Revelation chapter 11, it also talks about the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and that he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus is going to reign. Jesus is going to be supreme. And he is supreme, actually, not just going to be. He is supreme. Revelation chapter 21 there. I'm trying to catch up with you. Verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 4 there, just in closing here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the church coming out of, the bride that is adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is when all these trials and all these problems and all these heartaches and all these distresses and tribulations and things like that will be past. They'll be past. It'll be over. It'll be past for those that, when the end comes there. Christ and his church will prevail. Christ and his church will prevail. Do we get the big picture? When we're deep down in the grimy hole, trying to figure out how to put that PVC pipe together in that mud hole, it's muddy, it's raining, it's ugly. We're trying to get the sewer line connected. It's just not, things are not going good. Things are just not going good. But if you step back, look at the big picture, you hope to someday be able to use that house that you connected all those things to, and you hope to use it in a way that can be a blessing to many others. You step back, and then the mud, the grime, the broken pipe, some of those things make more sense. It kind of comes together, and it gives you more of a purpose to keep getting dirty, keep helping each other, keep striving on, keep pressing in, keep digging deeper, keep entering deeper into the love of Christ, our rock. Anyway, I just would like to encourage, I hope that's an encouragement to all, and that we can find our refuge in Jesus Christ. May God bless you.